15 is all about the topic of being lost and found. And in Luke chapter 15, there are three stories. And you will have read these stories before. We will have covered these stories in Nace Community Church before. You know them, and they are familiar to us. And the first story in Luke chapter 15 is all about the shepherd and the sheep. And there last week, we were talking about the shepherd and the sheep. And that little story in Luke chapter 15 is all about the shepherd who has a lost sheep. And he's not content just to leave the sheep being lost. The story goes that he actually leaves the 99 other sheep where they are. And so he goes in search of the lost sheep. And I know that you know that story. And this morning we're going to have a look at story number two, which is the woman and the coin. She has 10 coins and she loses one of them. And so she searches her home, searches her house for the lost coin. She's not content just to leave the coin lost. And then that famous, probably the most famous story in Luke chapter 15 of the three stories is the father and the son, which is called the lost son, the lost sheep, the lost coin and the lost son. And we know that story, the son. He kind of says, I've had enough, really, of where I am. It's time for me to fly the nest. It's time for me to get out there. And he goes to his father, as the story goes. He says, Father, now, you know, I could do with a few bob, cross my palm with silver. And so the father gives him, and so we know the story. He goes off and he gets into wild living. And that is the story of the lost son. Three stories. And what you'll notice about those three stories is, yes, they all talk about the topic of lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And they also talk about being found. The sheep is found, the coin is found, and then the son is found. The father says, my son was lost, but he's found. But they're not the only things that these particular three stories have in common. You'll notice that in the three stories, there is something that belongs. See, the sheep belongs to the shepherd, the coin belongs to the woman, and the son belongs to the father. And so there is that similarity of belonging in the three stories. And even though there are three separate stories, they are kind of interwoven. There is a connection between the three stories, and that connection is lost and found. There is a continuity, there is a flow between the three stories. Yes, you can take each story individually, but if you were to look back at Luke chapter 15, it has three stories, but they're all interwoven together. And not only does the three stories talk about the topic of being lost, being found, belonging, but it also talks about joy. There is a rejoicing that is in each story, because the shepherd, when he finds the sheep that was lost, he picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders, and he knows the joy of finding that which was lost, and so he carries it home to the rest of the flock. And the woman with the coin, we know the story. We're going to have a look at that one now in a few moments. But she also experiences the joy of finding that which was lost. So much so, she wants to tell her friends about it. She wants to tell her neighbors about it. And then the father. The father knows the joy of when his son comes home. In fact, so much so, he puts on a party. He's like, we're going to have a party in this house today. So he gets a ring and he gets a cloak. And he probably, if somebody has some drums and guitars, he'd probably call them in as well. And if somebody had some streamers, he'd probably get the streamers and the banners out. And if he had some cake, he'd probably light the candles on the cake. Because the father is overjoyed that his son has come home. The father puts on a party. And so I know that you know those stories. And we all know those stories. Luke chapter 15. And what are the stories about? Well, they're about what I've just said. But story number one, the shepherd and the sheep. If somebody was to ask me, Alan, what is that story about? Say, it's about God searching for you. See, there was a time in your life, a time in my life, a time in our lives when we were lost. So God is not content to leave us in that state. So what he does is he goes and searches for you. He goes looking for you. And that's the picture of the shepherd. He goes searching for the lost sheep. And so it is with God, with your life. If you were lost in the past, he would search for you until he finds you. And if you, like a little sheep, began to wander, you can be comforted in the fact God won't leave you there. If you find yourself in a position where you feel, I don't know where I am, I feel a little bit lost, well, you can be assured this morning that you serve a God who is actually going to search for you, pick you up, and bring you back into the place where you belong. And so story number one is really all about God searching for you. Story number two, the woman and the coin. Look at that story. It's a bit like you searching for God, because that woman, she's not content until she finds that which she's searching for. And this woman puts in a diligent search. You see, God searches for you, but there is also that dynamic where you search for God. Don't you search for God? Don't you bring yourself to him? You say, Lord, I want to find you. I'm going to seek you with all of my heart. And those who seek God with all their hearts will find him. And so story number two is all about you searching for God. Story number three, well, that's all about the restoration of the relationship. Three stories in Luke chapter 15. One is about you searching for God. The second one is about you searching for God. The first one is about God searching for you. And number three is the relationship restoration. It's where the two come together and they're in that relationship. And that's a picture of the lost son, story number three. It's where God and mankind are in relationship together. That's the way it was always meant to be until Adam and Eve kind of messed it up. But you are in a relationship where you are restored to the one that you love and to the one that loves you. Three stories in Luke chapter 15. This morning I want to have a look at the second story. And this is it. It's about the woman and the coin. It's called the parable of the lost coin. And this is one of the stories that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. It says this. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's a great little story. Like, that's a cool little story. I like that story. It's a short story, but there's so much. And that's the reason that I like that story, is that it's almost not challenging. It's almost comforting to read that story. You can read that story and think, yeah, that's okay. That's flowing. I'm enjoying that story. It's short. It's sweet. It's to the point. And I don't know about you, but the one thing that I notice about this story, about the woman, is that there is a great lot of detail about the woman's life in this particular story. I don't know her name, and there's lots that we don't know about this particular woman, but there is a lot in that story about that woman's life. Do you want to find out what it is? Right, the first one. She has some money. The Bible says that she had 10 silver coins. Like, she doesn't have 10 gold coins. And she doesn't have 10 bronze coins. The Bible actually mentions that they're silver. Like, if you were an athlete in a race in the Olympics and you got a gold medal, you will have done very, very well. Or if you had got a bronze medal, you would have done well. But if you had got a silver medal, you would have done pretty well. Now, this story tells of a woman who has some money. So the fact that it's silver, I don't know if she was poor, but she has a little bit of money. And so that might be a picture of your life. You might not be rich and you might not be poor, but you might be doing okay. Like this woman, she has a little bit of money, 10 silver coins. She has a house. The Bible says that she swept her house. She has a house. That's okay. It's good to have a house. Like if you were homeless, you'd know all about it. Like you might be enjoying the weather, but when you go to sleep at night, you'd be thinking, I need a house. And we live in an age and in a time, and we've seen it on the TV screens, there are many who don't have a home of their own. And they long for a home of their own. They live within emergency accommodation. They live within temporary accommodation. But this woman has a house. And the Bible doesn't specify if she owned the house. It doesn't say that she didn't own the house. But it says that she swept the house. And so it's safe to say that she had a house. She's doing okay. She's going okay. She's got a house. She's got some money. She's got a sweep and brush. She's doing okay. She's got herself a nice sweep and brush. I don't know if it was a fancy sweep and brush. I don't know what type of sweep and brush it was. But she has something to clean her house. You know, in this day and age, that might be the equivalent of gadgets or just other stuff. You know you have stuff in your house. You've got a load of stuff in your house. You know that, don't you? If you were ever to move house, you would realize how much stuff you have. And often it's only until you move house that you realize that we actually collect stuff. You know, people like to collect stuff, don't you? They collect stuff. And so this woman had a sweeping brush. And she had the means to clean her house. See, God has given you and me the means to clean our house. And that is the house of our life. Your house is your life. And so He's given you Christ, and through giving you Christ and giving the world Christ, He has given us the means to know a clean house. The blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of sins washes and cleans your house, that is, your life. But this woman had a sweep brush. She's doing okay, isn't she? Oh yeah, she had a bit of dirt. She, you know, the Bible says that she swept the floor, or she swept her house because she's looking for something that she's lost. And so she, like any one of us, any regular person, she had some dirt in her house. She had some dirt in her life. And so it's safe to say that when you're following the Lord, there are times when we need to clean out the house because there's a bit of dirt, or there's a bit of dust, or there's a bit of rubbish. You got to put the bins out. And so this woman, she was just like you and me. She had dirt or dust or rubbish that she needed to put out or clean or dust down. And so she's regular. She's normal. She's got some stuff in her life. Oh, yes, yeah, she has ability. See, she was able to sweep the floor. She was able to go and tell her friends that she found the coin that she was looking for. She was able to do different things, and so she had ability. And so God gives you ability. Ability to do certain things. Ability to be a parent. Ability to have a job. Ability to do a task. Ability to follow Him. He's given you ability. And He might even give you a gift. See, God gives you gifts. You ever see somebody and they're able to do something, and you think to yourself, how can they do it so well? Sometimes it's because God has given them the gifting of actually being able to do that. They have the ability to do it, and they also have the gifting to do it as well. Oh yes, she has light. See, remember the story. She lit a lamp because she didn't want to look around in the darkness. And so she had light in her house. She had light in her life. And so she lit the lamp. Probably was one of those old oil lamps or so. And so she had light, and she had darkness, but she had light. And so it is for you, is that when you brought yourself to the Lord, and you said, Lord, I'm coming to follow you. I receive you. His Spirit came down on your life, into your heart. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit of light. See, Jesus is the light of the world. And so that means he illuminates your life. And there may be times where people will look at you and they will see the light of Christ in you. And they see, well, what is that you have? It's the light of the Lord Jesus in your life. You have light, just like this woman had light in her house. You've got light. And that is the light that never goes out. It is an eternal light. It's a light that lasts forever, eternally, because it is from the one who is forever. The light of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This woman's doing okay. You know that, don't you? She's doing pretty good, like. Oh, yes, she has friends. Do you remember the story? She found the coin. She ran to tell her friends. And so she has some friends. That's good. It's good to have friends. It's good to have friends. When you have friends, you turn to them, you tell them stuff, and then they tell you that you're doing it wrong or whatever, you know. If you have a good friend, they might tell you something you don't like, but you trust them because they're your friend. It's good to have friends, isn't it? It's not good when you don't have any friends, because when you don't have any friends, no one to kind of just share stuff with, share life with. It's good to have friends. And then sometimes you could be like Jesus. He has loads of friends and then one of them stabs him in the back. Do you remember Judas? He says, I'm your friend, Jesus, I'm your friend. But he kind of was two-faced. But this woman, she had friends. She's doing okay. Like when I look at her life, I think, yeah, she's doing good. She has a good life. Oh yeah, she has neighbors. You see, neighbors are people that live beside you. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they can be difficult to live with or live beside. You've ever had a bad neighbor? You think, oh, the relationship between me and my neighbor, it ain't so great. I wish I had a different neighbor. But this woman had neighbors, and so that meant that she was surrounded by other people. She was living in a place where there was other people who were her neighbors. And when you examine this woman's life, and when you look at it, you would say, she has money, she has a house, she's got a bit of dirt, she has a sweet house, she's got ability, she's got light, she's got neighbors, she's got friends. If you were to look at all of that from a distance, you might say, hey, she's doing okay, she's got a good life. But there is one thing that the Bible mentions that she also had, and you know what it is? She had loss in her life. She had loss. So that's what the story is all about. She lost a coin. She lost something that she had. She lost it. And then she found herself in a place where she didn't like the fact that she had loss in her life. In fact, the loss in her life then created this sense of, I want it back because I don't like the fact that I've lost it. And so here was a woman who had loss in her life. And her friends and her neighbors, they may say, sure, why are you putting all that effort into looking for the coin? Sure, there's loads of coins. She's just getting her a coin, like. There's loads of them. What are you putting all the effort in? Don't be getting upset. Don't be getting all uneasy about just the fact that you've lost the coin, woman. And you know something? That story reminded me of a time when myself and Orla, we were living over in Wales. And before we got married, I had saved up a few quid. And I had gone and bought her an engagement ring. And the engagement ring had three little stones in it. And so it was like a little trilogy ring. And then we got married. And she used to wear the engagement ring on her finger. And then you'd have the wedding ring on the same fingers. Did you ever see that, where women wear two rings? And we were in the house one day, and Orla turns to me and she says, where's my engagement ring? I was like, I don't know. What did you do with it? And she says, I can't find it anywhere. I says, well, have you looked in all the usual places? Have you looked on the mantelpiece? Yes, it's not there. I says, have you looked in the drawers in the kitchen? She says, yeah, it's not there. I says, have you looked in the locker beside your bed? She said, yeah, it's not there. And so what then became was we started searching the house and we began to search all the places that you look for stuff. You know, you put your hand down the back of the sofa and you're looking for something like an engagement ring, and then you find a pen or something, or you find a penny or something. And so you're looking down the side, looking underneath the bed, and you find other stuff, and you just start finding everything that you don't look for, you don't want. You're looking for the engagement ring, but you can't find the engagement ring, but you're finding pens and pennies and thumbtacks and blue tack and all other stuff. We couldn't find this engagement ring. And so at that point then, Orla began to get very concerned. And she said, well, maybe what we'll have to do is we'll have to kind of claim off the house insurance in order to get the value of the ring. And then what happened was, one evening, she took out the Argus book. She's flicking through the Argus book. And there in the middle of the Argus book was the engagement ring, and you could see the blood just draining down her face because there was that sense of relief. Now, other people would say, she'll just go and get another ring. Just go and get another engagement ring. Sure, Argus have loads of them, and the jewelers have loads of them. Alan, just get yourself down to Argus and get her another engagement ring. You see, it doesn't work like that. You see, the engagement ring has a price of which I paid for. And it has value, and it has worth, but there is something that it has more, and that is the sentimental value. There is that sentimental worth that you can't replace. Have you ever had something in your life that you've lost, and you just can't replace it by buying another one? It just doesn't cut. It just doesn't work. And when I think about this woman, I think to myself, there she was searching the house with such diligence. There she was searching the house with such determination. And all her friends and her family and her neighbours saying, sure, you'll get another ring. It wasn't about that. It was about the value and the worth that she placed upon it. You see, you can't replace that. You can't replace the value and the worth of your heart upon something. When you've lost it, you know you've lost it, but you want it back with all of your heart. And this woman, she wanted the coin back with all of her heart. Here was a woman who was living with loss. You see, how can you measure loss? It's hard to measure, isn't it? If somebody said, that coin it's not worth much, say that to the woman, she might say something differently. If others said to Orla, sure, just get another ring, say that to Orla, she might think differently. How do you measure loss? Loss can be so deep. And the pain of loss can be so deep. Here was a woman that was living with loss. I was talking to a man during the week, and he was telling me about his loss. He was telling me, he says, Alan, back in 2006, 2007, he says, when all this kind of economic crash came down, when the bubble burst, he says, I had a number of properties. And he says, I lost them all. And he says, and then I had savings and I had loans. And he says, I lost the savings, I lost the properties, I lost all the money that I had. He says, my head and my heart was hurting with the pain and with the worry of everything that I've lost. And I said to him, how are you today? He says, I thank God. I says, what do you thank God for? He says, when I go to bed at night, he says, I'm able to put my head on the pillow and I can sleep. He says, during those years when I was living with the loss, he says, I couldn't sleep because I was worried. I was worried to my wit's end. He says, but I've passed that season now where I'm not living with the loss anymore. I've come to a place where I have peace. See, some people are living with loss. That was a woman who was living with loss. The shepherd in story number one, there was a time in the shepherd's life when he was living with the loss of the sheep. And I'm pretty sure that the shepherd's heart was experiencing the pain of the loss. Because all the shepherd is thinking about is, I want what belongs to me back. I want it back in my life. I want it back in my arms. I want it back on my shoulders. And so the shepherd, there was a season in his life when he was living with the loss. And so it was for the father in story number three. You see, when the son decided to kind of up sticks and go and do his own thing, the father was remained in the house with the other son, the older son. But I'm pretty confident, I'm pretty assured that the father had an aching heart because he was living with the loss of his son. And if you were to interview that father in that story, he would say, "All I want is my son back. All I want him is back in the house where he belongs. All I want is him back in my arms." And so there was a time in the father's life when he was living with the loss. And it wasn't only the father. You see, the son, the story goes of the lost son, that there was a time when he began to think about his own life. There was a time when he began to think about everything that he'd lost. And how far away he was from his father's arms. And so he made his way back. And I'm pretty confident that there was a time in the son's life when he realized everything that he had lost. Sometimes we're living with a loss. Sometimes we lose loved ones. You lose a loved one. That's hard. And that's deep. Because when you lose a loved one, you're living with the loss of the loved one. And there is a time and a season when the pain of that is still within the heart. The pain of that is still beating because you're living with the loss. All you begin to think about is the one that you love and the one that you lost. And you say to yourself and you say to God, "I just want them back. I want them back in my arms. I want them back in my life. I would do anything to have them back." But they are living with the loss of a loved one. Does God understand that? I think he does. You see, there was a time in the father's life when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And when he died a physical death. He died a spiritual death. He died totally. And so the father's heart was aching with the pain, with the loss of his son. And I think that God the Father understands when we are living with a loss. Because he too experienced the loss of his own son when Jesus died on the Calvary's cross. Living with a loss. Sometimes we live with a loss of the things of God. You know, there's times in our lives when we say, "Yeah, I can remember when prayer and the life of prayer was priority, but now it's not so." And so they're living with the loss of that in their life. There might be times where people say, believers say, "There was a time in my life when I was just know the intimacy of my relationship with Christ, but now it's not like that anymore." And so they're living with the loss of a broken relationship with Jesus. Sometimes people say, "There was a time in my life when I had a real certainty that God had a plan for my life, that he had a destiny for my life, that he had my life planned out and mapped out, and I was following him with all my heart. But now, it doesn't seem to be like that." And so they're living with the loss. Do you know the one thing that I really admired about this lady? Yes, she was living with a loss. But she was not content to stay that way. She was not comfortable in living that way for the rest of her days. And so she decided, "I'm going to make a search. I'm going to search for the very thing that I've lost. I'm going to search diligently with all of the determination." In fact, she went to such an extreme that she got the sweeping brush and she began to clean the house out. She probably began to turn the tables over, turn the chairs over, look under here, look under there. And so she began to search with all of her heart. And I really admire that about that lady. Is that there are times in our lives when we say, "Yeah, I've lost something of God. I've lost something," but you don't have to stay that way. You can do what the lady did. You could do what the woman did. You could sweep out your house. You could begin to search with all of your heart. And maybe you will find that which you've been looking for. Maybe you'll have that back in your possession and back in your pocket, back in your heart, back in your life. This woman put in a diligent search and she found it. If somebody was to ask me, "Alan, the story of the lost coin, what's it all about?" I'd say, It's about loss. But it doesn't end that way. It's not only about loss. It's about searching. It's about finding. And I think that God searches for us and he finds us. But it's a two-way thing, that we search for him and we find him. And so this morning, as we bring these things to a close, I'm just asking you, lovingly, gently, is that something that you'd like to do in your life and in the days ahead, where you say to God, God, I'm going to search for you. I'm not prepared to live with the loss of anything of you in my life. I'm going to search for you. I'm going to live a life where I walk with you, where I know that I am found in you. But my heart is to search for you, to search for you with all of my heart. Will you be like the woman and put in a diligent search for the one that you love? Would you be willing to clear out the house, clean out the house, to do what's needed to search for the one that you love? You see, the one that you love has value in your heart. The one that you love has worth in your heart. And so if he's worthy, if there is a great value on the one that you love, would you search for him? Would you say, yes, that's going to be me. I'm going to be like that woman. I'm going to search for the one that I love. And I can assure you, as the Bible says in black and white, that you will find when you seek with all of your heart. Will we bring these things to a close? Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are here by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that this story, though it's small, there is lots in it. And Lord, we see ourselves in it. We see something of ourselves in this woman's life. She had many things in her life, but there was one thing she had lost. And so this morning, we choose to search for you with all of our hearts. We choose to fix our eyes towards heaven, towards the face of Jesus by faith. And we say, Lord, we're going to sweep out the house. We're going to search for you until we find you. And we know, Lord, that when we search for you with all of our hearts, we are confident in finding you. And so this morning, Lord, we thank you that we are found in this place, in your house. And that as we are here, Lord, will you fill our hearts with your love? Will you fill our hearts with your Spirit? Will you cause us to see your face? Will you cause us to know the assurance that we are found, that we are no longer lost? And so this morning, will you seal these things by your Spirit in Jesus' name? Amen. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Amen.